Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, precious saints of God, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're all doing well. As for me, I'm doing good and looking forward to the remainder of the week. Tomorrow night, Friday, we have men's fellowship. Looking forward to that and looking forward to the Sunday service as we continue with our anniversary theme, and just feel blessed in the Lord and glad to be with you, so happy to be with you. Yesterday, we had some internet issues. If you tuned in to yesterday's broadcast, which was Wednesday, I was maybe 12 to 13 minutes into the broadcast, and the internet failed, so we had to cut the broadcast short, so I'm going to go back and revisit a little bit of yesterday, not too much, and teach what I was had in my heart set to teach today. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we again come to you in prayer. First, we thank you, Lord, for our wonderful salvation. What a glorious salvation. A gift from God via Jesus Christ, our Lord. We praise you for your goodness and your tender mercies towards us. I thank you that every morning I get up and I find myself in my right mind, full of vigor and health. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you have given me to shepherd your people here at Grace Church. What a blessing for me to once again serve you as you would have your servants to serve you, with the mind and the heart of Christ. Bless this lesson, Lord, we pray, as we look at the glorious Church of Rome, as we consider an intro to Romans 16. This we ask, this we pray, and Holy Spirit, have your way again with our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, we talked about Romans 16 specifically, the last chapter of the book of Romans, of Paul's epistle to the Romans. As we said, the book of Romans, the epistle, contains 16 chapters in total. Five are practical, and 11 are doctrinal. Our series this week looks at that last chapter. It's an overview, if you will, of the last chapter. Chapter 16, which is practical, has five sections. Section 1, we have verses 1 and 2. Here, Paul, the apostle, the author of the epistle, grants one person an apostolic recommendation. Section 2, starting at verse 3 and ending at verse 16, gives us a lengthy list of greetings. Section 3 is a section in which there's a sense of abruptness. There's a sudden change of subject and tone. In section 1, Paul is lovingly recommending someone to the Church of Rome. In section 2, Paul is remembering his friendships and his bonds of service with a list of people that he greets. Again, these greetings are just, they're just bathing in love. But suddenly, in section 3, the love ends and Paul calls the church to arms. He sounds the alarm. There's a sudden change of subject and tone. Now he ends talking about love and he warns the church and speaks to them about a serious danger that is approaching, something they need to address. In section 4, the Apostle Paul allows his co-laborers and companions who are with them in Corinth to greet the saints in Rome. And in section 5, Paul gives his concluding doxology, or he closes his epistle with a great, great benediction honoring God. So let's look at these five sections, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an audio on Romans chapter 16, and when I play the audio, I'm going to stop it. This way you know the sections that we're talking about. So I'm going to start the audio, and we're going to look at section 1, which is an apostolic recommendation. And it's only 2 verses. Let's listen.
Romans 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also.
So there it is, the one person that he recommends, the apostolic recommendation, is for a woman named Phoebe, who is a member of a church that's close by to Corinth. The church is called the Church of Cenchrea, which is a seaport, not too many miles away from Corinth. So he recommends her to the Church of Rome. Section 2 is the greetings, starting at verse 3 through verse 16. Let us read.
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruit of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you.
And there you have section 2, a section, a long list of greetings. Now comes section 3, which is that sudden change of subject tone. If you notice, at the close of section 2, Paul says, salute one another with a holy kiss. I mean, the love is just oozing between Paul and the Roman saints. But now in verse 17, is as if Paul was at Grace Church, you know, where we have that long rope, and Paul begins to sound the bell, ring the bell, pull on that rope, and it's the bell of alarm. That's what verse 17, from verses 17 through 20, is the bell, ringing the bell of alarm. Section 3, let's read.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly.
And that's how that section ends. In verse 17, Satan sends in his ministers to cause division. By the end of verse 20, Paul says, God will give us the victory over Satan and his ministers, for God will bruise Satan under our feet shortly. And he concludes by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, the fourth section is a section in which Paul now allows his co-laborers and companions in his missionary travels to greet the brethren, and that's verse 21, 22, and 23.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you.
I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother.
Now, Tertius, the one who says, I wrote this epistle, basically Paul dictated the epistle to him. He was Paul's secretary. So he is not the author of Paul's letter to the Roman. He is the person who wrote it down as Paul dictated every single word in every single chapter. Now we have the concluding doxology, starting at verse 24 and going to verse number 27.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
If you notice, in verse 20, Paul says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And look at this last sentence. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. But then when he starts the next section, notice how he starts. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Notice, what do you need to serve the Lord? His grace. What a wonderful name our church has, Grace Church, because that's what we need. That's what every church needs, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So today, Thursday, we're looking at Thursday, September 22nd, we're looking at one recommendation and numerous greetings. Now, concerning the one recommendation, let me recommend this to you. Let every one of your recommendations be prized by you. In other words, do not hand out your recommendations readily. Prize your recommendations. Do not give them away easily. Be stingy with your recommendations. I got to tell you, I've had preachers come to me and say, Dr. Torres, can you give me a recommendation? And I say, no. I've had authors, many authors, many of my former students became authors. And they said to me, would you recommend this book? And I said, no. I've had many pastors, many evangelists, many ministers who said, you know, I'm going to England, I'm going to South Africa, I'm going to India. You work with churches there. Would you give me a letter of recommendation that they may receive me? And my answer is no. I am very stingy. I've always been stingy. I've always prized, I've always put a high premium on my recommendations, especially when ministers and preachers and authors are half-baked. Remember we did a series on Ephraim? Ephraim was a cake not baked on both sides. Remember that series? Well, many preachers that have come to me and many authors and many pastors and many ministers have come to me for recommendations, and they are cooked on one side and raw on the other, I could not recommend them. Why? Because, again, souls are at stake. Souls are at, when you send these preachers, when you give them a letter of recommendation, and let's say they travel with your good name in hand, because that's what your recommendation is. It's your name. The door is being opened to them, not because of them, but because you recommend them. Now, you don't know what they're going to do in that church. You don't know what they're going to say in that church. So you need to be very, very, very careful. And the people that I would recommend, they don't need my recommendation because their recommendations, their works precede them. I have never asked, in all my years of ministry, I have never asked anyone for a recommendation, not once. If I can't get myself through the door, then maybe I shouldn't walk through that door. So look what Paul says, and I'm not going to do the teaching on Phoebe. It's not my goal today to do the teaching on her, but this woman has an impeccable resume. She's impeccable. First of all, she's born again. She's a sister. Second of all, she's a servant. She has a track record of being a servant to an entire church. Her name is praised in her church. I've had people come to me who have caused problems in their church, and they want me to give them a letter of recommendation. How could I give you a letter of recommendation if you split a church or if you failed in your assignment at that church? If the church doesn't recommend you, how can I? If the people you were called to serve, you didn't serve them, you failed them, how can I turn around and give you a recommendation? So Paul says, listen, I commend Sister Phoebe to you. She's a sister, a true sister, not a fake sister, not a pseudo-Christian. She's the real deal. She's born of God. And she has a lengthy record, a lengthy resume of having served her local church. Then Paul says that she has saved or has been the succorer or the rescuer of many. He says, including me. There was a time when I was in trouble and she came to my rescue. She aided me. She helped me. Thus, I recommend her because she's true blue. So again, my brothers and sisters, be very careful who you recommend. Here's another thing I'll tell you about recommendations. There's a lot of talented people in the church, a lot of talented people, talented, very talented teachers in the church, talented teachers, talented preachers, talented counselors, talented musicians, talented worship leaders. They're talented, but their character is badly flawed. Again, it goes back to the principle that they are not fully baked. I don't recommend people like that. I just don't. So be very frugal. Be very stingy with your recommendations. Remember, when you recommend someone, you are putting your name on the line. You're putting your reputation on the line. It's like co-signing for someone for a loan. I don't co-sign. I've had one or two or three people in my lifetime say, would you co-sign? I said, no. I'd rather give you the money than co-sign for you. Because if I co-sign for you, then my reputation gets ruined. If I loan you the money and you skip town, then I'm just out of the money. But my reputation isn't ruined. Your reputation will be ruined, but not mine. So you need to be, especially in the kingdom, don't recommend people easily. I've worked with many, many pastors over the years, and they say, Mike, would you give me a recommendation? Well, I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, I know you on the surface. I don't know what you're really like at home. I just don't know. You're 500, 600 miles away. I remember one time a pastor in North Carolina called me and said, would you recommend me? I said, I can't do that. Well, why not? Don't you come to my church and preach? I said, yes, I come to your church and preach, but I don't know what you're like in North Carolina. I don't know. Well, I'm not having you back at my church. Not a problem. That if you see, now I know why I didn't recommend you, because you hold grudges. You are immature. Remember, it's my name that opens the door for you. It's my name. So I just can't let anyone stain my name or stain my reputation. And, you know, they're going to say to me, hey, you sent this guy to us, and he was crazy. He messed up my church. You see, my brothers and sisters, recommendation. This is why Paul only gives one recommendation. One. Now, comes to the greetings, they are numerous. What is a greeting? A greeting is an acknowledgement, in this case, in this context, a greeting is not just a hello. You know how you greet someone on the phone? Hello, how you doing? God bless you. No, that's not a first century apostolic greeting. A greeting is an acknowledgement of service. I greet you as my co-laborer in Christ. Paul is greeting people that he has labored with, stood by them, worked by their side, and they have accomplished things together. That's a greeting. You greet people whom you've been in the foxhole with. You greet people who have gone to battle with you and have won for Christ. So these greetings are an acknowledgement of service. But there is something a little more than that also. Paul greets many people because he's worked with many people. And by the way, he's had good working relationships. Notice all the people that Paul greets. And with all of them, it's an amazing list of people, different backgrounds, men and women, whom he has worked with successfully, building the kingdom of God. But secondly, these greetings are greetings of love. You see, because when you work with people, I mean, over my 40 years in the ministry, I started, I'll be 40 years in the ministry next year in 1983. I was ordained in 1983. Next year will be 40 years of ministry. In my 40 years of ministry, I can tell you that wherever I have served with people, we have developed bonds of friendship, bonds of love. So it's not that we serve together here, there, and everywhere, but when we served, we became close. We bonded. Friendships developed. Lifelong friendships developed. And there's true Christian love. True. So that when you hurt, I hurt. I have I'll give you the example of that sister in Jamaica, Queens, who I served with her. She invited me to come and help her when her father died. Dr. Torres, I don't know what to do with this church landed on my lap. I don't know what to do. Will you come and help me? And for 10 years I was there with her, and then she came down with cancer. And I had to help her a little bit more, even though I lived up here in Dodgeville and Little Falls. And I would go down and help her as much as I could and work the phones with her and encourage her. And over the years, we developed a bond, a friendship. She would call me, and we would talk, and she would cry, and she would share her fears, and she would share her concerns, and she knew. And she passed away a year ago. And I got to tell you, to this very day, I miss her. I miss her. You see, the acknowledgments are just not that we served together or we did this and that together, that we went and did this here and we went and did this other thing over there, but that we became true brothers and sisters in the bond of love and friendship in Jesus Christ. So we're going to leave it there, and we're going to come back tomorrow, Friday, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 20, in which we talk about the serious warnings that the Apostle Paul puts before us. God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. I hope that today's lesson was a blessing to you. I hope that we were able to rectify what we missed yesterday with the issues with the internet. God bless you. Until tomorrow, may the Lord keep you in his favor.
Lord, there is none that compares to you. We exalt you in the nations of the earth. Lover of our souls.
Marvel in your greatness, O God. There is none like you.